Welcome to Ealing Christian Center. I'm Shane, I'm the pastor of this church. What a wonderful day we can come here to worship our Lord together. Hey, we are into week four of our sermon series. It's called Good Fruit. So before we start the fruit today, sharing the fruit today, let's recap what the key scripture talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5. Verses 22 to 23. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So today we are into week four. We'll be talking about patience. We all need patience. And the title of today's sermon is called, I Can't Wait to Be Patient. We need that right now. Does anyone still remember the first time you ate KFC? KFC came to New Zealand in 1971, in Auckland. In the late 80s, KFC opened it at the first restaurant in China, the capital city, Beijing. And I lived 2,000 kilometers away from Beijing, so I had no idea about what KFC was about. During the winter of 1991, I went to Beijing to visit my grandparents. One morning, one of my uncles asked me, he said, Shane, have you heard about KFC? I said, what's KFC? He says, it's a Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's an American fast food restaurant. You must try it. It tastes so good. Let's go. We're going to have lunch there today. I was so excited. So I followed my uncle, arrived at the only KFC in China back then. When we arrived there, wow, there was already a long line all the way stretched from the counter out into the street. So my first impression was American fast food is not very fast. Look at the line. By the way, the winter of Beijing is like minus 3 degrees. So we were standing in the freezing cold weather, minus 3 degrees for the 40 minutes before we could enter the restaurant. 40 minutes. I thought to myself, hey, I don't know what Kentucky Fried Chicken tastes like, but I know how Kentucky frozen chicken feels now. But my uncle, he kept encouraging me. He said, Shay, just be patient. Okay, be patient. It's worth a wait because it tastes so good. So finally, we enter the restaurant. We order the food. We ate. Wow! My uncle was right. It tastes so good. You know, now there is a brand new KFC just 5 minutes drive from my home. And it never tastes as good as the one I had 33 years ago in Beijing. Why? Because that 40 minutes wait in minus 3 degrees make that meal so special, so wonderful, and exciting. That longing, that desire, and the patience made my first KFC experience unforgettable. Well, today, it's so easy to pretty much get everything we want to eat, watch, and play. Our life has become faster and more convenient, but strangely, we feel less satisfied. Social media and the internet have trained our brains to want everything immediately. Right, I call it KFC mindset. KFC stands for knee-jerk, fast, and compulsive. Okay, if you're new to New Zealand, you know, English is your second language, knee-jerk, that you know the doctor tap your knee with a small hammer and then you kick immediately. We just react to situations without thinking quickly nowadays, right? We judge a pastor's 30 years of ministry by 20 seconds of a video clip. We cancel a comedian's whole career by one joke we don't like. Knee-jerk reaction every day. Fast, we want things right now. Give me what I want now. 24 hours delivery, too late. Drive through, too slow. You drive through my house, okay? Deliver food to my front door. Compulsive, driven by just acting with irresistible desires. Right? We knew the consequences is bad for us. The outcome will not look good, but we still want to do that, acting on irresistible desires. So as our patience decreases, we forget a very important truth of life, which is all meaningful things take time to grow. All meaningful things in life take time to grow. We can't live a fulfilled life without patience. It takes patience to raise children. It takes patience to build good relationship. It takes patience to learn a skill or master an art. It takes patience to achieve personal growth and career success. And it also takes patience to deepen our connection with God. Anything important for a healthy, happy, meaningful life requires patience. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, the Bible says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." This verse reminds us of the value of patience and the wisdom it brings. So today, we are going to explore three values of patience and how they benefit our lives. Let's begin with the first one. Being patient with others. Being patient with others reflects God's grace. Let's be patient with others because it reflects God's grace. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God is patient with us because he wants to give us time to grow, to repent, to get back to him, to get saved. So when we show that same grace, when we are patient with others, we reflect God's grace. We reflect God's patience to the people around us, even when they are saying or doing things we don't like. But here's something very important we need to remember. Patience doesn't mean passive tolerance. Patience is not about passive tolerance. It's not about doing nothing or avoiding the effort to make changes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 to 15. Paul says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Being patient with everyone is not doing nothing, right? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So being patient with everyone doesn't mean we stop doing good for each other. Because tolerance means we don't bother about others, okay? As long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care. But patience says, I do care. I do care, and I will not leave you like that. And I still believe God will bring breakthroughs and transformation into your life.
You see, God is patient with us, right? But he doesn't stay in this heaven and live it like that. He became a human being, living among us for 33 years, teaching us face to face, and then died for us on the cross, making a way for us to eternity. So God's patience is not passive tolerance. God's patience is a proactive attitude. He takes actions. So that's what biblical patience is about. If our patience reflects God's grace, we need to take actions to do good for each other. The second value of patience is being patient with yourself. Being patient with yourself rests your soul. Being patient with yourself rests your soul. Let me tell you, as an immigrant, learning English is a lifelong journey. Around 7 or 8 years ago, I had a chat with one of my Chinese friends. His English is advanced because he majored in English at a university back in China. So I asked him, I said, hey, you know, when you were in school, in university, how did you improve? How did you learn English? He said, I read a lot of English books. I said, wow, I did the same thing. You know, I got a lot of basketball magazines, car magazines in English. I love them. Hey, we were the same. But he says, no, Shane. We were not the same. English 101. Magazines are not books. Okay? I read classic novels in the original English text. So we haven't talked to each other since. Friendship ended. I was so frustrated. I said to myself, come on, I'm going to read something seriously. I'm going to read serious books from now. So I'm going to read classic novel, okay? Classic novel, Shakespeare. I am going to read Shakespeare, the original text of Shakespeare writing. And I'm going to read a book about a prince, and prince whose father was murdered by his uncle. Hamlet, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking in my mind. Yeah, Hamlet. I hadn't read Hamlet at all, but I did watch a movie based on Hamlet, The Lion King. Okay, Lion King was the closest I have ever come to Shakespeare. So before I search Hamlet online on Amazon, first of all, I need to figure out how to spell Shakespeare. Okay, I did my homework. And then I got this book. Can you please pass the book for me? Yeah. Hamlet. Whew. I would have chosen another book if I knew Hamlet was that sick. Thick, yeah. The reason this book is so thick was because actually there are two books bound together. Okay, one is Hamlet in original text, Shakespearean text. The other is Hamlet in simplified English. Hey, I don't need the simplified English, okay? I am reading the original. The reason I bought this one because this is on sale. This one is on sale, okay? It's cheaper than the original one. So I bought this book. I started reading. Pretty much after three lines, I thought to myself, well, maybe I should begin with the simplified one, okay? Just see what's the difference, okay? And then I turned to the other half, and I realized I had been reading the simplified one all along. Be patient with myself. I should stop comparing myself to my friend. But there is an innate built-in tendency to compare ourselves on everything, actually, with others, what they are doing, what they have achieved, especially on social media. We're bombarded everything about people's achievements online. And the problem is, we often compare our beginning with somebody else's end, our starting point with somebody else's finish line. So when we do that, we never feel good about ourselves. We never feel good enough. We never feel satisfied, and we never celebrate our accomplishment. Never enough. Let me encourage you with the word of God. In Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he is God. That he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So be confident. You are God's work, and God will finish his work in you in his time. So by staying connected to God, God will finish what he started in you. And the Bible never tells us to hurry up, compare yourself with others. Instead, Bible tells us to seek rest in God's grace. In Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So be confident and then find rest in me. That's what God wants us to do. So when we are always rushing from one thing to another without rest, without peace, either mentally or physically, it could be a sign that we are off track from God's plan. Because according to Jesus, we should find rest in God's plan. So that's a red flag. Just 2 days ago, a very young man in our church had this conversation with me. He said, Pastor Shane, I want to be honest with you. Because I don't feel you were listening sometimes when I'm talking to you. Wow. You know what? He was absolutely right. Because sometimes when people were talking to me, my mind was jumping all over the place. I'm not resting. I don't know how to rest my mind. So how did I do? I apologized to this young man. And then I repented to God. Now here's the first step we can take. When you find ourselves in the place we cannot rest, we cannot find peace, we cannot be patient with myself, with ourselves, we need to repent. We need to get back on track. We need to say to God, God, I'm sorry. Because I have been living my life my way, not your way. I try to achieve the goal with my plan, not your plan. God, please, please, I need your help because I need to find rest in you. So friends, that's the first step we need to do. Because remember, patience is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the production. It's not a human production. We need to receive that from the Spirit. That's why we need to submit ourselves to the Spirit. So stop comparing yourself to others, but focus on the path God has set for you. Embrace and celebrate where you are right now. Be patient with yourself and find rest for your soul. The last aspect of patience is actually the foundation of the previous two. It's being patient with God. Being patient with God demonstrates our faith. Being patient with God demonstrates our faith. James 5:7. James was Jesus' half-brother. James said, "Be patient. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains." So you see, James compares patience to a farmer waiting for crops to grow. So just as the farmer patiently waits for the harvest time, we must patiently wait for God's timing. And it will come. It will come on time because God's timing is perfect. But we don't always understand God's timing or His plan. But when we are patient, we show that we trust God is in control and believe God's plan will always come to pass. In the last Thursday, and I missed my doctor's appointment. I booked that appointment 4 weeks ago. I put it on my diary book. I saved it on the phone. I still missed it. Now, here's the thing. That's totally my fault. And when I didn't show up for doctor's appointment, I didn't expect my daughter to be waiting for me all day long. Of course not. He would just move on to the next patient, right? Because you don't wait for someone if you don't believe this person will show up. So here's the thing, friends. When we don't wait for God's timing, it's like saying, "God, I don't believe you will show up. I'm moving on." So you see, impatience itself is a form of unbelief. It's a form of disbelief. But the more we trust God, the more patient we become. Hebrews 6:12, it says this: "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." So you see, both faith and patience are needed to receive what God has promised us. So here's how patience works with faith. We can practice that every day. So for example, when you pray for breakthroughs, when you pray for open doors, new jobs, opportunities, you must believe that God has already provided you with new opportunities, right? Before you see anything changes in your life. That's the faith. We believe before we see. But when your circumstance haven't changed yet, here is when patience starts working. Because patience reminds you, you know what? I trust God's timing. I trust God's timing. I will not be shaken by what I see or how I feel. I will patiently rely on God's promises. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Worship team, please come up. So as I conclude today's sermon, let me ask you this. Which aspect of patience is lacking in your life right now? Which aspect of patience is lacking in your life right now? Is it patience with others? Patience with yourself? Or patience with God? I can share you, for me, patience with myself is my biggest problem, biggest challenge. Because to live a healthy and meaningful life, we need to replace that kind of KFC mindset with biblical patience, You might think, oh, come on, Shane, I know everything you say, I agree with you, but you know what? It's too hard. I want to be patient, but how? Well, I mentioned it before, it's not our product. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Of course it is hard. That's why God wants us to stay connected to Him, to Jesus, so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Let's go to John, Gospel of John, the Gospel of John 15, verse 4. Jesus says this, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I share this verse in the very first week of this sermon series. So please, if you haven't heard the first week of this sermon series, please go to our website or our Elim app to listen to this one, because the first week talking about how we can stay connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ, so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. I cannot preach the sermon here now, obviously, right? Because we don't have patience for another sermon now. But if you are not Christian, the first step you can take in order to produce this fruit is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus is the source of life. He's the vine. You need to connect to Him. I want to encourage you to pray a very simple prayer by receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Because the Bible teaches us that we all have sinned. We all have fall short of God's glory. Our sin separated us from God's grace. But God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to the world, died for us on the cross. You know, when Jesus died, He took on Himself all the penalty for our sin. And then He extended this grace to every one of us here today. He gives us hope for your future, new life for you now, and forgiveness for your past. And of course, eternal life with God in heaven. So if that was you, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you once was Christian, but for some reason you feel you were far away from Him, don't worry. You can reconnect to the vine. I'm going to pray this prayer out loud so that you can hear. All you need to do is pray in your heart by following me. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for me. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please come into my heart. Change my life. I choose from today to turn away from my old life and turn to you. And I will follow you and live for you forever. I pray in the name of Jesus. As we are all bowing down our heads praying, I want to ask you, if you just prayed that prayer in your heart, congratulations, your life will never be the same again. You are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. I want to encourage you to take one more step of faith. I'm going to count 1 to 3. As I get to 3, if you just prayed that prayer and you mean it, could you please raise your hand so that I can see you? I'm not doing this to call you out. I just want to acknowledge your hands and then you can put it down. After that, I will lead the congregation to pray a blessing over your life. This is your moment to declare your faith to God, to connect to the vine, to receive His love, His grace, His peace to your life. I start counting now. 1, 2, 3. If you just, I see your hand, you can put it down now. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else, if you just prayed that prayer, could you please raise your hand so that I can see you? We have one person on this side. Is anyone else on my left-hand side? Okay, let's pray together for this person. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. I know you just touched this man's heart, my Lord. I know you have a great plan for his life. I know today he is here because you brought him here. You want to be speaking to him. You want to show him the way and help him to connect to the source of life. Lord, I pray that from now on you will continue to guide him, open doors for him, and surrender him with the people who have faith in you so that we can journey together. Thank you, Lord. Please reveal your plan and purpose for his life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.